you're listening to the Under the Covers podcast. I'm your host, Megan, and I'm so glad that you're joining me today. If you want to learn more about any of the books or anything else we discuss on today's episode, visit us at underthecoverspodcast.com or follow us at underthecoverspod on Instagram. Let's get started. Hi, everybody. I am so excited to welcome my guest this week. Lala is the host of Lala's Bedtime Tales, a podcast that offers you all female-friendly, inclusive, and sex-positive erotic and sex stories. Oh, yeah. A sexpert, Lala helps destigmatize women's sexuality as a dirty thing and encourage and educate women on ways to enjoy their sexual pleasure and feel confident and sexy in their sexuality. Her goal is to create a safe and judgment-free space for everyone to learn about sexual health, sexual consent, sexual enjoyment, because it should be fun. So I think that's something we can all get behind. I am totally here for women's empowerment and taking charge of your sexual enjoyment and pleasure, and you're taking charge of yourself and your choices in all aspects of life. So I knew that we had to have her on. She is a lover of spicy romance of all kinds. She has amazing taste, aka she likes books that I like. And I'm like really just so humble. And yeah. So I was like, absolutely, we have to have you on. We have to talk about this. I know one of her favorite series is one that I've been dying to talk about. So I said, let's have you on. Let's chat. Because she, I think, just finished it. So Lala, I'm so happy to have you on.
Hi, I'm excited to be here. I love talking about erotic fiction, so I'm super stoked.
It is my favorite thing to talk about. I don't think I get to talk about it enough because people out in public just don't want to talk to me about this. It's strange. I can't just stop people on the street. So I made a podcast.
That's so awesome.
Yeah. It's, you know, listen, you do what you got to do. So I just wanted to start off with, we'll get into a little bit about your podcast and kind of that whole journey in Under the Covers, but I wanted to start off because I think you had a really good Crack My Spine That's Bi, an author that I really liked another book of theirs. So I'm like, oh, wait, what's coming out? So now I have to know. So do you want to let me know like which one?
Yeah. So it's Bones by Chantal Tessier. And what I love about it is part of the Dark Kingdom series. It's her fifth book and it's a mafia romance. And what I love about all of her books is that they're fast burns. And I love that this is a mafia daddy. And what's interesting about this one coming out is that it's looks like it'll be enemies to lovers trope, which is one of my favorites because I love the banter.
Enemies to lovers. I love a mafia.
Yes.
I love her. She's a great writer.
Yeah, she is. She's phenomenal.
Oh my goodness. Do we know when this one's coming out?
I think it already hit. It came out this month.
Oh, awesome. So it's something that they can pick up right now. Okay, perfect.
Yes.
So I love this. It's all my favorite things. I love mafia. I have been in a mafia rut lately because I read Mafia Madman. And then that was like such high level mafia that I needed something good and I had to take a little break. So I think I'm like ready to get back into a new mafia. I was just thinking about this yesterday. I've been like,
yeah,
I told you I've been in a pregnancy trope hole. my favorite one to be in. Be quite fair, but I should probably do like a motorcycle club or a mafia to get out of this because what better way to get out of a pregnancy trope hole than with a little mafia? I don't know. Yeah. Why is that where my brain goes?
I don't know. I feel like what sent me on this is gonna sound so crazy because I don't even what sent me on a mafia kick was 365 days. And then,
which I'm like dying to watch the new one. Okay, so I don't actually like watch it.
Me either.
I just skip to the good parts.
Where they have good sex scenes, honestly. Like, yeah, I feel like there's not much story.
I don't watch the whole thing. I hate watching movies with subtitles. I know I'm like a terrible person. Why am I reading a movie? I don't want to read a movie. If I wanted to read, I'd read a fucking book. I don't know. Come at me in my DMs. It's fine. But yeah, I definitely was like, oh my God, I just saw that the other day. And now I think we're going to like leave the pregnancy. Well, I mean, maybe we'll stay with pregnancy trope in some mafia books. I'm sure I'll find them. It tends to happen. But I thought that would be like a good segue to make my way back into dark romance because I really need like a good like somebody stabbing someone kind of situation
Oh
soon.
yeah, you'll get a lot of that in this Dark Kingdom series. It's
I need like a knife emoji situation
very
going on. Like
violent.
that's all I need. Yes, a little
Like
violence,
torture scenes, yeah.
little light murder, sex next
Yeah.
to a dead body. Like
Yeah.
this is the vibe I need in my life. Those are like my favorites. I don't know why. Like every time I've read one of those scenes, I can literally tell you each book that I have had that
Yeah.
scene in where I'm like, oh yeah, that was great. But
Yeah.
why? Why is it the scene I remember from every?
The wildest one to me was in Sheridan and I think it's Depraved Sinners is what it's
Oh my
called.
God.
That scene with the FMC and one of her reverse harem guys with the dead body.
I
Yeah.
love Sheridan Anne. I think she is amazing.
Yeah, I do too.
Bradford Brawler. I don't know if you read her newest
I
one.
haven't read that one yet.
Oh my God. So it's not like gory violent. It is a little violent, but it's like I think it's closer to the one that we're going to talk about later because it's
Okay.
like a high school set romance.
Gotcha.
And I always have a soft spot for high school romance. So like I loved her from like all of her like RH stuff. And then she was like, I'm coming out
Yes.
with this new one and it's in high school. And I was like, it's Sheridan Anne and high school. Like, say less. I'm in. And oh my God, it's so good.
Okay,
Like
I'll
it's
have to
so good.
definitely.
And then she's
Yeah.
also talking about like her upcoming one. And I think it's gonna
Yeah.
be like Royals. And
Yeah,
I'm
that
like,
one's, I think, is a reverse harem.
yeah. And I'm like,
Yeah.
can she just write anything?
I think so.
I think she can. I don't know.
Yeah.
So her, and now I'm like very excited because I read The Ritual by Chantal Tessier and I thought that was very good.
Yes.
Like interesting premise that I don't think I read so blatantly in books. Like I think they talk about a lot of those tropes and those themes
Yeah.
like in other stuff, but like I don't think they ever like so bluntly say like she's like I want this.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And I'm into it and just do it. And
Yes.
usually it's like part of it and like you know like she kind of alludes to it and then he wants to do
Yes.
something and she was like no, let's set this up and let's do it for real. And I was like,
Yes.
and that's like very bold, very taking charge. So I was like,
Yes.
oh, she's a writer to watch
Yes.
out for because that was written so in like it was such an interesting read that I'm like, oh, she can write.
Yes. Yeah, I love it. I love how going back to the ritual, how it's secret society and how it really explores degradation and humiliation kink. Like I
Yeah.
feel like some authors hint about it, but it was
I
like with
agree.
Chantal Tessier is like, this is what my FNC loves and this is what she's gonna get, and I
Like
love that.
those women like own their sh and I kind of love that because I feel like so often they're like exploring and they're like not committing to like whether or not this is something that they really like or they're like just learning about, which is fine. I like the learning about it
Yes.
situation too. But like when they just own it like that, it like I don't know as somebody who's like reading it I'm like oh I could like own what I want to do too and like
Yes,
I can ask for
exactly.
things and you know whatever the case may
Yes,
be so I don't know
exactly.
there's something about that like reading a character who does the, you know who does ask for what they want and does feel
Yes.
definitively about what they want and doesn't pussyfoot around it is kind of cool.
Yeah, and I love how the main male character, he like empowered her. He was like, if you love
Yeah,
it, like you love it, like
he's
there's
like
no
that's what you
shame.
want like do it. Let's do it.
Yeah,
And she was like, but
and
isn't
I love
this
that.
crazy? And he's like, no.
Exactly. I love
And I
that.
was like, I love it so much. I know.
I
It was so
know.
good. So I'm definitely gonna keep an eye out for this one. I am going to go take a look at it. And I will have a link for everybody else so that they can go get started. Is this the last book in the series too?
I don't know if it's the last, but it's her fifth one. The first one is Code of Silence.
Okay.
That's the one everyone should start with. That's the introductory one.
So we have, I got five books for you in one.
Yes.
Just binge read. I feel like Labor Day weekend's coming up, summer's coming to an end. You're gonna hit a pool, you're gonna hit a beach. Like, just load your Kindle up with five books in a row and you're good to go.
Yeah, whole series.
I love it. Okay, perfect. So this was awesome. I am gonna take a break, and when we get back, we're gonna get into a series that I know I read a while ago and you just finished, and it's one
Yes.
of the ones that I think lives rent free in my brain. I think it was one of my first reverse harems. We're getting back to our roots here, guys. We're talking about our age. So we'll talk about that when we get back. Under the Covers with Lala. I want to learn a little bit more about her and her podcast and her reading journey and how all that came to be. And then we're going to talk about a series that I love and that I think she loves too, called The Sainthood. It's by Siobhan Davis, who is truly the nicest person on the entire planet, by the way, in case anyone's wondering. But it's also a great series, and she's fantastic, and she's such a great writer. And I love an RH, so like, let's get back to our roots and talk about RH again. I'm so excited. But first, I just want to talk to you a little bit about you as a reader and kind of how that whole journey started for you, and then what led you to start your podcast. So, what about so like when you were you always a reader? Is this something that's like newer for you? Kind of like how what level nerd are you? Is really my question.
So I have always been a reader. I love books. I started with Babysitter's Club when I was
Same.
younger. And then there was like
OG.
Phyllis Reynolds Naylor. She wrote this Alice series I was obsessed with. But when I turned 13, I started reading erotica and contemporary romance
Yeah, look
novels.
at you.
Yeah, I started with like the Harlequin romance novellas, and then it just kind of went from there.
Oh yeah. I feel like that's every like I feel like that's everyone's like spicy origin story is like they found somebody's like Harlequin romances in someone's house and they were like, oh. Meanwhile, I did, and then I was like, oh God, I could never read that. Where did that come from? Can you tell? I come from a WASPy family. facts. And oh my God, I love that. Where is it like the kind that you used to like find in the grocery store kind of deal? Like
Yeah,
Danielle
they'd be
Steele
like,
kind of level.
yeah.
Yeah.
And I just started reading it, and I was at the library, and I was doing like the teen reading challenge, and I walked over to this rack, and I was like, this looks interesting. And then I started reading them.
I love that. Good for you. Like I feel like a lot of people either like did start reading them and like people have trouble, I think. Especially when you're younger, I think there's like a lot of, for women, I think there's like
Yes.
a lot of feelings around like women embracing that sort of thing
Yes, and
and enjoying
sexuality.
it and being allowed to
Yes.
enjoy it. So I good for you that like you read it and you were like, I love this. I'm into it. Like
Yeah, it's
that's
what normal,
amazing.
yeah, it's what
It's
normalized
totally
sex for
normal
me.
and I love that,
Yeah.
but I feel like a lot of girls are shamed into thinking we're not supposed to think about that. We're not supposed to talk about that. We're not supposed to have feelings or emotions or any of that stuff.
Yes.
And so like I'm glad that you like walked you read it and you were like, no, this is my thing. I love it. That's
Yes.
amazing.
Yep.
Good for you. I love that. I wish I hope I wish that for more girls growing up. I feel like that gives you a sense of like what's going on. I think we live in a society where we don't talk about it much, and even in school, it's not talked about the way it should be.
Yes.
And like men respecting women. And I feel like you, I mean, I don't care what romance book you read, I think for the most part, you're going to find like pretty respectful relationships
Yeah.
as models.
Yes.
And, you know, I don't think they write too much, especially like Harlequin romance. I don't think they do too much derogatory situations going on
No,
there.
they
I mean,
don't.
maybe some
Yeah.
dark romance that we read, but,
Yeah.
but you know, I think for the most part, you know, you're understanding your body. There's like a lot of things
Yes.
on there, like how you feel
And
comfortable respecting yourself, picking the right people to do
yes.
these things with that respect you as well, perhaps.
Exactly. And yeah, they put female pleasure first too. Like,
Yes,
that's what I
it's
really
huge.
love. Yeah, that's what I really love about erotic fiction, contemporary romance. They put the female pleasure first, which you don't
A
see
hundred
often.
percent. Which, yeah,
So.
and I think like if you know, a lot of people like, you know, secretly watch some porn online when they're a
Yeah.
teenager and whatever, but you're not getting that.
No, at all.
No, which I mean, and there's like a lot of things that perpetuate, and you hear a lot of things from other people and you know, your peers and your school and your teachers and what have you. And so I think that probably is a much healthier place to start than a lot of the places that
Yes.
we started, for me in particular started. So I love that. I think that's
Yes.
amazing. And I hope that for more young women that they explore that, you know, in a positive, sex positive way and a female
Yes.
oriented way. I love that.
Yeah.
So then I know you have your podcast and your brand around that, which is really pro, you know, females embracing their sexuality and all of that. So can you tell us a little bit about how that got started and what inspired you?
Yeah, so what inspired me was that, so I was a friend that everyone would come to talk about sex with, and like everyone was afraid to like embrace or talk about it out in open with anyone. I would talk about it with anybody. And what helped me get to that point was reading erotic fiction and having read it for so long. And so when I would go through heartbreak or anything traumatic, I would always read it. And then come to find out, reading erotica actually has mental and sexual health benefits. And so I wanted to bring that to the forefront with audio eroticism for a lot of women. So that's why I started writing my own erotic stories and storytelling them along with music and sound effects to help women the benefits of the mental and sexual health.
I love all of that. I think, you know, it is something that's really beneficial, I think, to every woman that I've talked to on this podcast, you know, and that I've talked to in the book community. It's something that has really made them feel more confident in themselves, given them a place and outlet to talk about this.
Yes.
Better communication with partners, like all of this stuff. And then like all of that, when you are comfortable and confident and all of that, it all trickles down to other parts of your life. I feel like this is such a, I think for some people, it might be a strange place to start.
Yeah.
Because again, we don't talk about this stuff in society and but I think it actually is a great place to start, you know, to feel confident in this area, like makes you just take better care of yourself and invest in self-care all over, because you start to see the benefits of it and it sort of spirals in a good way.
Yes. And it helps release, healthy mental feel-good hormones like oxytocin and dopamine. And I always say like foreplay should happen all day. So if you're reading erotica throughout the day and then you have like, you know, a play partner or even solo play night, like it helps get you in the mood and right headset for that by reading or listening to erotica. So that's why I love it. And I'm a huge advocate.
Oh, yeah. No, there's a reason I have two children and not just one anymore. I'll say that all the time. You know, I just think that there's something to be said for like being in that comfortable mindset, like where like it doesn't feel like a chore. You're like there already, like you're like in the mental headspace to like allow things to happen, instead of, I think women take on a huge mental load, mom or not, whoever you are as a woman, you take on a huge mental load of just adulting and all the things that you need to do for people around you. I think we all feel, I think most women feel like they need to take care of the people around them, you know, to an extent. If you don't have a partner or kids, I mean, you still like have parents and family members and things like that and friends. And I think it's a taxing mental load that we take on, and a lot of stress comes from that. So at the end of the night, like, when you've been dealing with the drudgery all day and the, like, I can tell why a lot of people don't feel like they're in the mood at night. And, you know, because you're dealing with so much stuff.
Yes.
And it can be hard to, like, mentally just take a break from that. You're, like, drained. You're tired. You're not into it. I get that.
Yes.
So, you know, having an outlet like this, I know a lot of people are readers. I know a lot of people feel like they don't have the time to read. And so, you know, or they don't have as much time to read as they might want either. And so I know for some of those people, audiobooks is, you know, an option. But I know particularly I'm one of those people who like the audiobook narrator has to be like the right person. It's got to be a thing. And like some people are like particularly picky. But, you know, I think that this is another medium where, you know, you've created an outlet where there is something else for them, maybe not necessarily an audiobook, but maybe these short stories that you're doing in a podcast format. I know you have like a, you know, another level that you have on your Patreon for some more stuff and more content that they can get. But, you know, having this that you can do, you know, literally like wherever you are, meet you where you're at. If you're tired at night, you don't want to read a page, you know, you don't want to like sit there and stare at a page, you just want to close your eyes, this is another option. So I love this. I think this is like a great expansion on like the things that we talk about that we're already doing for mental health. So if you can, you know, find this time in your schedule and maybe this fits your needs a little bit better, then I think this is a great idea.
Yes, absolutely. I love it.
I think that's so cool. Why did you, I guess like with writing, were you like, oh, did you always like writing short stories and things like that? Was this something?
So I actually just love to write, and I had started writing just a book, and I got to the third chapter, and like, I had no friends that really read erotica around me. And so I love listening to podcasts. And I was just like, you know, if am I any good? So I was just like, I'm just going to write a short story that's been in my head and I'm going to put it on a podcast and see if people like it. And so that's what I've been doing. And I've been getting a pretty, you know, pretty good listenership. So I've just been like, okay. So
that's amazing. I love that. And taking like a leap of faith on yourself, which is always amazing. And I always encourage. But I love that so much. So I know you just finished the Sainthood series by Siobhan Davis. And we were going to talk about that one. I think this is one of the ones that like has a scene that will live rent free in my mind forever that I know we were talking about. And I think it's like one of my first reverse harems that I read. I think maybe it was like the third or fourth. I know I did Den of Vipers, Madison Kate, and then I did this and Havoc around the same time, and a couple of other ones when I started out. And I was like, so I remember because they had that one omnibus for this whole book.
Yeah, that's
all
what
four
I read.
Books in one. Yeah, which is makes it super easy. Again, I'm trying to load your Kindle with things that you can like sit down and just like bang out the whole thing. And it's great. I know it's a completed series. So you know, what drew you to this one in the first place?
So I'm in a lot of different book groups on Facebook and I kept seeing it come up and I was just like, so I'm in a reverse harems one. So I was just like, okay. And then I was like, I was kind of on a kick looking for back to school romances to read about right now because it's August, and I stumbled across one. Yeah. I stumbled across this one and I was like, oh. And then I like that it's, you know, a fast burn, like within like the first chapter of the first book, you're already like taking
the
first
page or I'm out. Like that is the vibe in this book. Like I think I've said that in like a past episode, but yes.
Yeah. And so after that I just couldn't put it down. Like the twists and turns were just absolutely amazing.
Yeah. It's definitely one of those ones that like catches you from page one.
Yes.
Is good at that though, like that I think that's like one of her things. Like every time I've like started a book by her, I'm like, I'm just gonna read a little bit, and then it's like 2 o'clock in the morning, I'm like, where the did my time go?
Yeah,
like, I have no idea. But like she does really pull you in. So I love this. I think this was a fun series in that I like the high school setting. I am a sucker for like a high school romance setting. But I like the RH. I like the friend group and all of that. I like the twists and turns. I liked what was going on as far as like, you know, her and her dynamic with each of the guys was totally different, which was interesting. So I have to ask, out of all the characters in the main group, so her, Harlow is the female main character. So Harlow, Galen, Saint, Kaz, and Theo?
Yes.
Okay, so which one was your favorite?
Galen was my favorite.
Really?
Yes.
Interesting. I like it.
He was like a tortured soul.
Everybody loves those. Everybody loves like the ones that are hard to get.
Yes.
And nobody likes the golden retrievers.
The Theos.
Theos of the world.
The Theos.
It's funny,
of the
you
world.
Know, in this one, I have to say, Saint was probably my favorite.
I can see
but
that.
But mostly because of the epilogue.
Yes. I fell in love with him in the epilogue.
I did too. And it like took me like the longest time. I think for most of the books, I probably would have said Theo. And then in the epilogue, I was like, oh, he's real cute.
Yes, yes.
He's real cute. But I thought this was like a fantastic grouping. And I think that they all had like a little bit of a different thing going on with her,
they
which
did.
I thought was great. And like the progression of everybody's relationship was kind of like on its own course, which was awesome.
Yes.
Did you have a favorite scene that you
remember? So many. So I'm actually gonna go from like the prologue scene.
Yeah.
So that like was like after I read the prologue scene, I was just like, and I couldn't put it down. I don't want to tell too much, but like, I guess I could say this without it being a spoiler. When he says to her, we won't protect you, I was kind of like, okay, like, where are they going with this? Like, who are they? Who is she? And then what they do to her, I was just like,
oh yeah.
And she took that like a champ, because any other female would have been like,
she's a badass.
Yes.
I remember thinking, like, I really do love when they like torture the shit out of her, but she's like not here for it. at all.
all.
And she's like very upfront with them about that. I was like, I don't know that you see it too often. I feel like sometimes they're just like, I'm being bullied. And they're strong, but in a quiet way.
Yes.
I like them strong in a loud way.
I know. I love that about her. And like, very few girls could have been like, I love my sexuality and everything like, that went down. Yeah. She was just like, whatever. Like, her mom was freaking out more than she was.
Yeah. She's like, things happen.
Yeah.
You can't get me. Like, you can't get to me. I'm not going to be quiet about it. And it is what it is.
Yes.
I'm not going to take it. And I was like, okay. I love that so much. So do you have a favorite trope that was in this book, or a trope in this book that you were surprised that you liked?
Ooh, that is a tough one. So my favorite trope in this book would probably be, so I know I say this, I'm a sucker for an enemies to lovers. So her and Galen's banter was obsessed with that. And that was probably my favorite. And then I'm pretty open to a lot of stuff. So I don't think there was one that really surprised me. And I've read a lot of like bully romance and dark romance. So I wasn't surprised too much, but like the enemies to lover was like
that's
my
awesome.
Favorite. Yeah. Now the one that you, I think the one that surprised me that I was really into was billionaire type rags to riches romances.
Those are fun. Which,
yeah, I fell in love with those for a while. So
I think there's like one that we're always like, we could never. And then you read one really well written one and you're like, oh shit, I do like this. Okay, so what are three words you would use to describe this series?
Oh gosh. I'll say badass is one because she's kick ass. Then I will say it's a little trippy because this is happening in high school. So, so some of the stuff that happens, like shirtless on thrones, like during an orgy, like, so that was like trippy. Yeah. And then just like super spicy, like levels of just spice are off the charts in this book. Like, and I know people are like, well, that's subjective, but I mean, like, every chapter you're just like taken away. Like, there's same sex sex scenes, orgies if you like that, toys. Jesus. Toys. Yeah, so I mean, it's,
if it can be done, I think for the most part it happens.
In this book.
I'm like, if you can physically do it, I think they tried at one point or another. But yeah, it's really good. Okay, and then if you had to use an emoji to describe this series, what would it be?
Oh shit. That is a tough one.
This is my bizarre shit question that I find really fascinating.
Okay, so this is going to sound crazy. It's going to be knife, because she loved her knives. Knives,
knife emoji. Eggplant. Every book should be able to be described as the knife emoji, in my opinion.
Yeah. Hers would be a mix of knife, eggplant, melting emoji, revolving hearts.
I kind of like that. Yes. I think that all books should be with the knife emoji. And then I also will often describe reverse harem books by putting in just like the amount of eggplants and then a taco.
Yeah.
And that is how I describe them in emojis. And I think people think I'm crazy, but like anytime somebody's like, what is this book? And I'm like, four eggplants and a taco. Like, that's...
Yep.
If you need a succinct explanation, I will describe it for you in emojis. It is six eggplants and a taco.
Yeah. Exactly.
I like it. I think it's fair. Yeah. And accurate representation. And people are always like, I get what you mean, but why that way? I'm like, I don't know.
Yeah, that's happened. And I feel like we're reverse harems. Instead of it being like the droplets of water, it's like a whole wave.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. And a good one, at least.
Yeah.
Just an entire bucket of water, an ocean of water. That's I think that's the level we're at. God, what did somebody say to me the other day? I don't like dry panties when I read, I think was the quote.
I
And I was
love that.
like, that's fair.
That is
I
very
think
accurate.
that's a good standard to have with your books. High standards always, baby. Okay. So I think that's all I have for this one. We'll have a one-click guide in the show notes for this one. But I know that there is an omnibus that you can get on Kindle Unlimited. So it's definitely one that if you have KU, and if you don't, I have no idea what you're doing with your life. But if you have KU, easy for you to pick up right now. And then when we get back, we'll go behind the podcast and we'll learn a little bit more about Lala and her favorite tropes and her favorite book boyfriends. We'll find out if she's Team Jacob, and I'm very nervous. Okay, we'll be right back.
Just like a stranger suddenly knows everything.
Okay, we're back and it's time to go behind the podcast with Lala. We're gonna get to know you a little bit better. I'm gonna ask you some questions, just answer whatever comes to mind. There's no right or wrong answer unless people are Team Jacob, which I know you're not, thank God. Because I mean, it's hard to argue with people who are just so clearly wrong. And it's mentally taxing. And I had a couple of weeks in a row where I was just very mentally drained from all the people trying to explain to me what the appeal of Jacob was, only for everyone to realize that there is none. And, I can argue that until I'm blue in the face, but why? Why do I need to? So I'm glad that, you have reason and sense, and I don't have to explain to you why that is clearly the yeah, clearly. I know. It's like, did you read the book? I don't
I
know. It's
know.
very confusing for me when people say, like, I'm Team Jacob. I'm like, Were we reading the same book?
Maybe they just like the way Taylor Lautner looks.
That's what I said. Acceptable answers are Team Taylor Lautner, but never a Team Jacob. No. There's a definitive break in the conversation. And I can't allow that. My favorite thing to remind people is, and you guys have heard this like multiple episodes in a row by now, but I don't give a fuck. That Taylor Lautner's fiance was Team Edward. Facts. And that should be all you need to know on this subject. And no one should ever give me shit again, but watch. Give me two more episodes. Someone will give me shit about it. People just really like to pick a fight with me about this. Okay, so we're gonna start off with Book Bay. Who is your favorite book boyfriend of all time?
Ooh, of all time.
Yeah, no, I really am. I'm digging deep here.
So gosh, if I had to choose just one right now based off of books I just read, that's still hard. I'm gonna go with, I know, just because I love the sex scenes in this book with this guy. I'm gonna go with Nicholas, and Taken by a Sinner by
Oh
Michelle
my God,
Hart.
yes. Yes. Oh my gosh, yes. I'm like, the amount that I am up her asshole about this series
I love the series.
is
Patiently waiting.
truly probably the most annoying thing in the world. But Jesus, this is a good mafia series. Like,
I
and that
love
one in
it.
particular is, oh boy.
I hate that she made us wait to the end for Rosalie and
Oh yeah, she's like, oh, let me just tease this here. Oh wait, we're not gonna talk about it.
until the
Like,
very
we're not going to
end.
give you details until the end.
September 12th. Patiently waiting.
Oh my God. Patiently is like a very loose term at this point. But yes, every time she puts one out, I'm like, ah, I'm
I
excited. I'm so good. And she's just like, who is this person who keeps like just freaking out every time she's like having an episode? Is she okay?
It's so
She puts out
good.
like a teaser, and I'm like, ah.
Oh,
Like, I
I'm the
messaged
same
her, I
way.
posted on my stories, I'm like sharing it with people. I'm like, oh my God, another one's coming out. I'm so excited. Oh my God, he's so hot though.
So
Like, in
hot.
that first one.
Oh my gosh, so hot. Even just the way she describes him, and oh man. And then their first scene together, I was
Yes.
just like,
And I never
wow.
read, and I don't think I have since, another Greek mafia romance. It's not common. So, and I know Alexandra had told me about this one, and she was like, oh, it's really good. And I was like, Greek mafia, I'm like, okay, I'll check this out. And I'm like, what's this? It was really interesting. And then she has a bunch of other ones that I think are just, they're all really good and they're all different tropes. But they're all in the mafia world, but like all of like the couples have like a different dynamic. And then it's good. Good times. Also, who's your favorite female main character of all time?
My favorite female main character of all time. So this is probably gonna be crazy to you. Let me see. She called her Red in Featherstone Academy. I think her name was Jessica.
Get the fuck out. I love her.
Yes, I loved her.
She is like one of the quiet but like strong women.
Yes,
Kate,
yes.
first of all, if you don't know what this is, Featherstone Academy by Kacey Keene, is
Yes.
fantastic. It's wonderful. It's everything. And then it is this is the second book. So the first book focuses on Luna, and then the
Yes.
second book is her best friend, who she calls Red. Affectionately, and we all know I love a redheaded female character because and her name is Jessica, and this one is amazing because she is super strong, but she comes from a her family background's like a little nutty. I'm gonna say nutty to keep it mild. And so she has a lot of issues being confrontational, even though she is very strong and she gets through all of it, which is insane. And the fact that she's still standing is insane. But I know she goes through a lot, and just watching her like grow and become, Luna's like a badass. And so being friends with her kind of allows her to, I think, act on a lot of things that she wanted to do before but didn't feel like she could. And then I know she has her guys, and she has two professors. So, like,
She has two
that is
professors.
my tagline for like anybody who's like, I want a series. What should I read? Like, every time I recommend this to somebody, I'm like, oh, no. She's a student, and there's two professors.
Yes, two professors that are obsessed with her.
So the answer to that is say less. But yeah, she's awesome. I love her so much. Casey can write, like,
Oh, yeah, it's amazing.
yeah, I'm a
Yeah.
professor too. It's fine. Poor woman. I'm like,
I've read
whoa.
everything she's written except for her new fantasy series. I haven't read that one yet.
Oh my God, it's
The
can I say
Damaged
it's so
Souls.
fucking good.
See, I'm
So
trying not to
fucking
fall in
good.
a hole right now. And every time I get her books, I like have to like cancel everything and just read her stuff.
Casey Keene is a goddess. I have said it before, I will say it again. I'm obsessed with everything she does. We are a weird mutual admiration society at this point. But she is amazing. I love her so much. But yeah, woman can write, man. Okay, so I'm gonna give you into it or over it tropes. I'm gonna give you a trope. You're gonna tell me if you're into it or over it. Again, thank you to Logan for asking these dumb questions on your stories because I've stolen all the tropes people submitted. Thank you. So first one is Dad's boss.
Dad's boss.
I don't think I've ever read one of these, but now I
Dad's
kind of
boss.
want to.
I was like, yeah, I haven't read a dad's boss. I've read a person, like a girl with their boss, but not dad's boss.
No, I haven't, but this is like the Silver Fox journey of my dreams. Like, I'm very into
Yeah.
this right now.
So I would be into it because I haven't really read one like
I
that.
want one. Like, I
To
want one.
find one. Yeah.
I mean, I guess theoretically, it's kind of like, did you ever read Mafia Mistress? Okay, because like it's a mafia story, but like he's a higher ranking mafia boss than her dad.
Gotcha.
So like technically he's kind of like her dad's boss. Like he can boss him around and tell him what to do. And he like comes there and
Gotcha.
like he demands things because he's like higher on the food chain.
Yeah.
So if I could get this, but like in like an office environment kind of
Like
deal.
a TL Swan type situation.
Yeah. I'm like, oh, I think I like this already from like that. I could keep going down this path. I could be
Yeah.
into this. What about your dad is his boss? Or her dad is his boss?
I think I have read a story like that.
I
I
have
think I
not.
have. I think.
I feel like there's a movie like this, and I feel like it's Ashton Kutcher or one of those, and it was like the early 2000s. It was one of like those trash movies that came out back in the day.
Yeah, that is.
That is a real thing. Okay. I was
That
like,
is a
when
real
I
thing.
saw this, I was like, I've seen that trashy movie, I feel like.
Maybe that's what I'm thinking of, but
A
like,
trashy rom-com from like
yeah,
probably like
from,
2003. Yeah.
yeah.
Oh my God.
But yeah, I haven't read too many like that. I've read mainly either where it's a takeover, where a guy comes in and takes over the dad's company and she
Yes.
falls in love with him, or he's her actual boss, our boss's boss's boss, but
Let me see. This
not.
is interesting. But like,
And then
I feel
Praise,
like there's like
her boyfriend.
there's a lot of ones that I think in sports romance where
Yeah.
it's like the her dad is the coach and
Coach,
he's a
yeah.
player, I feel like that's like a common thing. So this could be an interesting like billionaire romance offshoot of that, which I kind of like.
Yeah.
I'm like, I'm kind of into this. I don't know why, but I kind of like it. What about Secret Baby?
Oh, I love Secret Baby Stories.
Secret
I
Baby's the
love
best. Everyone
Secret
hates me
Baby
for saying
Stories.
this, but Secret Baby pregnancy, it's the best. It's the
Yeah,
best.
I'm into that. I'm not over that.
Right. You heard it here first. It's the preeminent trope. It should be everywhere, and it just it's top tier. It's top
Yeah,
tier trope.
I love Secret
Come at
Baby.
us in the DMs because it is top tier and I'm not backing down. What about the guy like has insta love first? And he has to like convince her to come around.
See, you don't see too many of those.
No,
So
but I like it.
I was about to say I'm gonna like that because the person who I feel like mostly I've read with that was L. Kennedy. Like in The Dill, if anyone's read that book, like he was the one who fell for it first.
It's like the takeover.
Yeah. The
Kind
Takeover,
of
which that was my
takeover-y
favorite one.
vibes.
Yeah.
I love that one too.
That was
Yeah.
my
And then
favorite.
I just read another one recently that was this is a small town pregnancy trope one that I found. And
Please
yeah,
tell me
and
the
she's
title of
like
that.
resistant and he's like pushing for it. I don't think it's insta-love, but he definitely is like the one pushing for her to like stop being so crazy and like just confront the fact that she's into him. And she's like,
Yeah.
no, I'm not. I couldn't possibly be. I hate him. And I sort of love like reverse grumpy sunshine.
Yeah, I do too.
It's fun. Like I love when the woman's a grump and the guy's like sunshiny because I am a grump.
I feel you. Same.
So I'm like, oh, okay. I need somebody to like perk me up and make me like excited to do things. It's fun.
Yeah.
And then one of my favorites, student teacher.
Student teacher dynamic. I would say I would be into that because once again, there's not too many, I feel like, that you just see a whole lot of.
I really love like a professor in a college setting, but
Yeah.
I have lately been like verging towards like I want like more of the taboo like it's high school and it's your teacher. I don't know why,
There
but I've been
is
like
one of.
I could read one of those. Like I could be into that one like right now. That's sort of like the mood I'm in. Like
Yeah, I'm
I
about to
want
read one like
professor
that.
student, but like with higher stakes.
Like where he's a priest at a Catholic school.
Kind of, yeah.
There's one I'm about to read that's like that.
Oh, I kind of like that too. Yeah, shocker. You know, I read Sinner, or I did the audiobook of Sinner. I was like, I want to read Priest, but I feel like that's very on the nose given my namesake. So, it, like, kind of, I have avoided it thus far. I will cave eventually, but like, there is part of me that's just like, that hits a little close to home. Let's do your book foul. What's your most controversial reader thing that you do? Do you search in Kindle?
Oh, I'm worse. I'll get a thought of, is this predictable? Is what I'm thinking gonna
Oh, I
happen?
do this
And
all
then
the time.
I'll just scroll on my Kindle, I'll scroll through to just kind of get an idea of what's going to happen. And then I'll go back to the page I'm on and then keep reading.
Yeah, sometimes when there's a mystery, I have a thing where like I don't read mystery books in general. Like I never did before. I kind of hated the idea of a mystery. I don't like I need to know everything now. I don't like the
Yeah.
suspense. So there are some books. Some books are good and give me like just enough breadcrumbs to keep me satisfied, but there's
Yeah.
sometimes where like they draw it out and I'm like,
Way too much.
I don't have time or mental capacity to like wonder what if I need to know. So I'll just like search and find out what happens so that I can read the rest of the book in peace.
Unpopular opinion, I did that with The Sweetest Oblivion.
Oh, did you really?
I feel like she just drug it out just a little too much for me. And then when I got to the point where her sister made her announcement, I was like, okay, I can read this book fully through.
Yeah, sometimes you just need like the resolution
Yes.
so that you can like focus properly.
Yeah, because it kept me on edge.
I definitely do that. I am like a serial offender of like, let's get the resolution and then we'll go from there.
Yeah.
It's something like mentally is like relaxing about that. I just like, it's like the anxiety of like not knowing.
Yes.
Okay. So my last question for you is, what is the most meaningful way that writing and being a reader has impacted your life?
Gosh, oh, so much.
Light
So
question for the end.
it is a very big stress reliever for me. I feel like you can go anywhere in a book and you can have any experience in a book. And so I feel like if there's a day where you just want to be anybody else or, get an escape from your real life, I feel like books definitely do that. And so does writing. And those are my reason why I love to read and write.
Awesome. I love that. I think that there is an escape. I think a lot of people tell me escape is like the thing. You know what I mean? Like there's an escapism to reading. I always say I just like to heighten my reality. I don't know why. I always pick books that have like a tie to my real life and then
Yes.
like expand on it. So it's sort of like escapism, sort of like I'm just like living my own reality, but like in a fantasy, like
Yeah.
intent, like higher stakes situations.
Yes.
Which I like when I can like resonate with it, but I also love like I like when it takes me to a different country or I explore or I learn something about a different culture or I learn something about like I always say this with sports books. I learned something about a sport because I don't know anything about any sport except for
Yes.
baseball. But like learning about like a different I think, you know, when I read Nikki Castle for the first time, I didn't really know a lot. I knew what MMA was, but I didn't know anything about like what it involved. I knew it was a thing that people watched on pay-per-view, maybe.
Yes.
And it wasn't the WWE. And that was pretty much all I knew. And then like you learn about like, you know, like found family situations
Yeah.
there and like camaraderie and like really having that bond with other people and the different types of sports that are involved in it, which I didn't know like there were different fighting styles and all this other stuff.
Yeah.
So, you know, I feel like I learned a lot about that sport. Not that I'm any sort of expert, but like now I could, you know, theoretically understand a conversation about it a lot better than I probably could have before. So it's interesting. You can escape to these like other worlds, these worlds of other people that exist probably,
Yeah.
in the sphere of life, that you could potentially engage with one day. And now all of a sudden, like now you're like, oh, I know something that I didn't know before, and I would think
Yes.
that's really cool.
And I love how you said about the relatable part because there have been books I've read where I couldn't figure out how to say stuff to people, but like I've gotten a main character in a book and I've related to them and I've been like, oh
Yeah.
my gosh, this is how I need to say this to everybody now.
Exactly. There's times where I think, you know, you want somebody or a book that's totally different than you. You know, because you don't want to think about something that's stressing you out or whatever the case may be. And then there's times where, you know, a character that has things that are in common with you and that resonate with you really help you work through things.
Yeah.
And I think those are really valuable too. So I think, you know, it's good to see things outside of yourself and like really like externalize so that you can internalize
Yes.
something. You know, take it out of yourself so that you can analyze it a little bit better. I think sometimes when it's in you, like, you know, thoughts, feelings, whatever, in you, it's harder
Yes.
to pinpoint things. But when you see it on a page that somebody else is going through and how they're handling it, you're like, oh, that seems so much more simple than I thought
Yes.
it would be. So I just think that's really interesting too. Awesome. Okay, well, I think that's all the questions I had for you today. It was so much fun chatting with you. I loved it so much. Can you tell everybody where the best places are to go and check you out?
Yeah, so the best places to check me out is my website at www.lalasbedtimetales.com. And you can subscribe and follow my podcast at Lala's Bedtime Tales Erotic Stories. And you can listen to it wherever you listen to podcasts. And if you ever want to like reach out to me, I'm always hanging out on Instagram at Lala's Bedtime Tales.
So, yeah. Awesome. Yay, I'm so excited. I will definitely have links to all of that in the episode guide. So if you want to check out her podcast and you're looking for a little something different, I think this is a great thing to check out if you want to just have something that you can listen to, you know, instead of a book or in between things. I know sometimes I'm like not ready to start a new book. But, you know, this might be a little something to, you know, kind of keep you from having that book hangover that we all hate. But sort of kind of love. It's a good thing to get you through. I always like think of like novellas or short stories and things like that are great, like little palate cleansers in between stuff. So yeah, definitely check it out. I think this sounds so much fun. And if you liked what you heard today, don't forget to rate, review, and subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, wherever you listen to podcasts. Thanks so much for joining me today, Lala. I appreciate it.
Thank you for having me. I loved it.